I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this is Digital Divination on the No Direction Network.
All right, we are back for episode 130 of Digital Divination.
Hello.
Are you waiting for me? Waiting for me to point out that I am Ron Lundeen, an employee of Wizards of the Coast, and the opinions I express here are mine and not theirs.
Yes.
Hold on a second. Your name is Ron Lundeen. I thought your name was Ron Lundeen this whole time. I thought you were a different guy entirely.
Ron, to my knowledge, there is no Ron Lundeen working at Wizards of the Coast.
Okay, fair enough.
And if there is, his opinions are his own and not mine.
All right. Well, that is exciting. Hey, this is our, you know, I talked about this a couple episodes ago. We are at 5 years now of Digital Divination today.
Wow.
Yeah. 5 years.
Happy birthday to you.
Without, I'm pretty sure, without missing an episode.
Well, this means you've been doing it, John, for 5 years, because I was gone for some of them. I've been gone for some of them since, and Jason has joined in the last couple of years, so.
That's true. And then I had to have Tondro fill in at one point as well for somebody. I don't remember who it was, so. But yeah, okay. Well, I'm pointing this out because there was one episode that we recorded early because I knew I was getting hospitalized for my transplant.
We
still got it out. So
amazing.
Anyway, 5 years. Well, I was thinking today, Jason pointed out to us both earlier that there is this really cool actual play coming out by Geek and Sundry.
Yeah, Godfall, right? It has a colon name of some kind. Lost Odyssey Godfall. Almost Lost Omens, but not quite. If you pay close attention to the trailer, there's a little blip at the beginning and the end to say that it's a Pathfinder game. And it's got like amazing like people in it. Like honestly, like.
Yeah, I have the list here if you want me to.
Why don't
to
you
tell
read
you.
It?
Yeah.
I know what it is, but why don't you say it?
Yeah, so it has Matt Mercer, Reggie. So Matt Mercer is Daggerheart and
Critical Role is the big thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And Reggie Watts, who was on the Corbin show, right? He was the musical guy for that.
Corbin.
I forget his first name now.
Oh, James Corden?
James Corden.
Reggie Watts is a hilarious, like musical guy. It's just like I've seen him live a couple times.
Yeah.
Very funny. He was. I don't know if you listen to podcast Comedy Bang Bang. He did the theme song for that, and then he was on the first couple episodes when that was a TV show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And then he was also the host of the failed U.S. version of Taskmaster.
U.S. version of what?
Taskmaster. You know what Taskmaster is?
Okay.
There was a failed U.S. version. Like there was a number of failed U.S. versions of lots of British things.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
Reggie Watts. Hilarious.
Yep. Deborah Ann Woll from, I know her mostly from Daredevil. Has she been in other stuff?
She did, we've done a lot of work with Deborah Ann Woll at Wizards, and she's contributed a lot of stuff. So that's a name that I know.
Yeah, cool. She's also got like, I can't remember, it might be called like We Play Games or something like that. She's got like this board gaming YouTube channel that she's on sometimes with a bunch of like, I assume her friends, which is cool.
Felicia Day from The Guild, which I loved back in the day. I think it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Routh, Superman and The Atom. What's he play in? Is it the Atom?
Yeah. Ray Palmer, Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah.
And then their GM is Bill Rehor. I don't know how to say that. Rehor, is that right? But he's from Geek and Sundry.
I assumed that.
Familiar with him. Do you guys know of him at all?
Not really.
Well, this is
sorry, Bill.
This is the this is one of the places where I've got a lot of knowledge gap, because I know that we have a lot of people who are really involved in a lot of different actual play things, but I've never really watched a lot of actual play. And I have a ton of friends who are really big into Critical Role and Dimension right. 20 and a lot of other actual play, but I don't know the people there very well. Mm. And so I've actually been in a situation where I've been had the opportunity to meet some of these people or been in the room with some of these people, and I don't know who they are because I don't watch them. Yeah. And people, you know, my coworkers who do watch them are like, oh, I'm so excited to be able to meet so-and-so. I'm like, can you tell me real quick who so-and-so is? I actually had to ask if it was critical to my job that I be more aware of actual play stars and the like. And other than just a general sense of knowing that we do it, I was told you don't need to know everybody and, you know, but just be aware that this is a type of media that is popular and exists. I'm like, oh, I am aware of that. Yes. Yeah.
Did you be like, I happen to be.
Yeah. I'm actually. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, actual plays are an interesting beast in that. Like I don't watch like every single one of them, and like things that I would kind of like to watch, I don't. They're often so long. Like each episode is like a small, like a movie length situation, 90 minutes to 2 hours with that. I'm like, I get a little, just like, I don't know. I can't sustain that for too long. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I don't know. I don't watch, you know, I know Critical Role has seasons and I can do lots of episodes, and those episodes are just end up being so long and they have so many people in them. I did watch, they were like the new trailer for the new like Critical Role series out. I watched it and I was like, this has like 100 players, doesn't it? Like, what is going on? Like, they've just kept people kept coming up, and I was like, oh, that'll be the end of the note. No, two more people are apparently in this. And it was wild to me, but it's probably why they're like a couple hours long, because there's just so many people in them. But like, yeah, I just don't like, I love the concept, because, you know, I like to do jamming and stuff like that. And I would like, it's fun to see how people do it, you know, in this sort of like professional kind of environment. But I get burned out really quickly trying to watch them. Mm-hmm. He said, it's kind of hypocritically. Well,
this one in particular, it's just single episode. It's just one long game and that's it. Or is it a whole series? Or I couldn't tell.
I can't tell. It's for Extra Life. And that's generally a one day thing. Yeah. So.
Right. And an excellent charity as well. Yeah. So I was really excited to see Extra Life as sort of the name all over the, they're getting a lot of support from this. That's great.
I'm like 90% sure it's just like a one shot kind of thing. But it probably will be like 3 or 4 hours long. Mm-hmm. You know, the length of a game to sort of do that. But otherwise, I think it's just a one off.
Mm-hmm. I don't recall they gave a specific date for it to come out.
I didn't see it, but Extra Life has a day that they do their charity stuff on, and I presume
it. Oh, so it might be connected with that.
Yeah.
This seems worth seeing, right? It's a lot of people whose names I know. They seem like they're really into it, and it looks like it's a lot of fun. So this may be kind of a low entryway for me to a low barrier of entry for me to get into one of these shows, knowing that it's sort of beginning and end, right?
Yeah.
So when a friend recommends a, you know, this you should watch this series, it gets really good about season 4, and then by season 12 it really kind of picks up. I'm like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Oh. But along those lines, but you know, one of the things that we had talked about is, you know, Starfinder Second Edition is coming out. You know, what if we had an actual play for that with a bunch of stars and things? Who, hypothetically, we don't have any money or pull or anything like they had done. But hypothetically, you know, who would we have in it? Who would GM it? And what would it be? You know, what adventure would that be?
Good like question. It was a Starfinder action. So people actually, like famous people playing Starfinder characters. Are they playing famous Starfinder characters, or are they playing
it could their own be characters? Yeah.
What do you think?
I think it would be, you know, I mean, this is the situation, like this Godfall thing is they're playing their own kind of like, you know, new characters. It might be fun to do something. Just hey, here's the who would you want to get the people most excited? The participants, I would say they could, you know, craft something of their own to fit into the adventure or whatever.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that's what I would say. And it doesn't. I would also, for me, okay. So to answer that last question first, I think it would be something new, something not set in, you know, not set in the Starfinder universe, but not one of the, you know, extant adventures that exist. It would probably be a little bit of some, you know, just something brand new, maybe to play on certain strengths, but also to kind of like think about like what other people are, who's there, what they're maybe good at, and what like what right. kind of characters they wanted to play, how they would fit in with into something. But you know, as I, I'm trying to think of like something just to say like a general thing. It would have to be. I mean, if I was planning this, probably something slightly comedic. At least.
Okay. That's right. Right. Very reasonable.
Yeah. Which makes me think about, as always, makes me think about Galarian World. or some other sort of like amusement park based, like science, sci-fi, weird adventure like that. Or I would try to squeeze this, like the time travel adventure that I've always had in mind for Starfinder. Try to make that happen.
Well, I think it should be something that would showcase Starfinder 2 as well, because you could go like there was a one shot. It was the rock music one. What you remember what the name?
Oh, of Band on the Run.
Band on the Run, right? So I think that's a fun, pretty light one shot. You could do it, but it doesn't really showcase Starfinder very well in there, I don't think, for an audience or people like that. So
yeah, you'd have to
something maybe, like Junker's Delight, something like that. Not that exactly, but
yeah. You know, a special one shot like that. That's not, you know, I wouldn't do like to Defy the Dragon, right? That's a real heavy, long, long one to do that. But Junker's Delight is actually one of the ones I was thinking of. I thought that encompasses a whole lot of different action, different skills, different things that I think would be fun and would do that. So,
when you say one, so we're setting up something like we believe this Lost Odyssey to be, where it's maybe 3 to 4 hours, but it's kind of one self-contained story that really showcases all that Starfinder has. So in showcasing all that Starfinder has, it's got, I think, a little bit of comedic, like Jason, you were saying, but it's going to have some of the sort of the magic, the tech, probably something to do with starships. The Starfinder second edition rules don't have a whole lot of starship stuff, but like getting going from place to place on a starship, or having some sort of encounter that takes place on the party ship while they're going from a place to place. Maybe
You do like a kind of like a Lost in the Drift kind of adventure, I think. You're the crew of this starship, something, you know, you're going through the drift, something goes wrong, and you've got to get out and get back home, essentially, right? That's a nice self-contained little arc. It's a sort of very Starfinder setting part, right? And you throw in maybe, you know, and doesn't all necessarily take place on the ship, but maybe, you know, there's an asteroid you got to get off of, or a chunk of plane, right, that has the magic parts of it, you know, like kind of mixes all that together. Something like that.
Or you could take a really fun Starfinder Society scenario, like one of the live exploration extreme ones, you know, something with Zoe. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so kind of it's like a game show, but they do exploration and a whole bunch of other stuff. No starship in that, though, because of the location.
Yeah.
But I think that would be kind of fun. So you guys don't think Murder Metal City, the new special deluxe edition coming out, that's not going to be good enough because it's not funny. It's about murder.
I don't know if it's going to be. I mean, it is about murder. We don't know how funny it could be. That's very noir. I mean, you have to get the right, you know, if you got the right cast for it, it could be fun. Sure.
Well, I think that's probably true. And I believe that Murder in Metal City, the reason I'm excited for it is because it seems to have a whole lot of real tactile elements to it. So it'll be fun to play. I don't know it will be as fun to watch other people play, even if they have those tactile elements. I want to play it is the issue. I guess if we pick it, I want to be one of the people at the table.
Yeah, it's your dream cast. If you want to be one of the people that look for me, just to lay my cards on the table, if I'm going to get my dream cast, I might want to GM it because I want to work with these people.
That would be pretty fun.
You know, hang out with them for a little bit.
Well, okay, I don't know. Like, I have a list of like players that I think would be great. I was telling Jason before, I kind of have like an old school list and a new school list. I had to make two lists because I realized that one list didn't really quite work out. The GM is the one I'm kind of a little stuck on because I got to tell you, I'll tell you both. You are both probably the two best GMs I know of in terms of running games,
shucks.
You know, being very quick on your feet and thinking and making it fun and exciting, explaining things. Ron doesn't do many voices, but Jason does quite a bit. So, you know, other than you two, I mean, there are some other folks I know that might be okay. But if I were really going to push this out, maybe I'd get somebody who's a non-GM to sit there and fill the role.
A non-GM?
Okay. Well, somebody who isn't traditionally GMing all the time, but is willing to step in and do this thing. So they're good at other stuff. Right. And so,
okay.
So the first person that came to mind that I thought would be really over the top and fun was William Shatner. Is a GM.
Would be totally over the top as
Anyway, but that's just kind of I hadn't really thought much. Ron, do you have a thought about who would GM this sort of thing?
No, I didn't put a whole lot of thought into it because, man, I don't put a whole lot of thought into necessarily these shows. I just riff off the top of my head. But as soon as you said it's got to be, you know, maybe a little bit funny, I thought, okay, who can switch from Who have I seen in media recently who I know can switch from serious to like really funny in kind of a deadpan way really fast? And so I immediately thought of Adam Scott is in Severance. I've started watching Severance.
Yes.
And from Parks and Rec, right? That is like in Severance, it's a very like a serious but sad, like these sort of funny turns to it. I mean, it'd be great to see him around the table.
Yeah, Adam Scott. It'd be fun to just hang out with, for sure.
All right. So if you're putting together your team of players and you want to have a good mix of folks, representation and stuff from different things, who would you have on the table?
Jason, what do you think?
Okay, I'm going to like kind of be a little bit slightly semi-selfish, but and also sort of some, I would say kind of, I don't know, ringers for lack of a better word, because I would pick a couple of people who have done this before. At least one or two people who have done kind of thing before.
Wait, okay. Who have played role-playing games generally, or?
A little bit of both. I would say no, and mainly, well, the couple people I'm thinking of are actual play people, right? Here's the thing is, I was talking about watching actual play. What Dimension 20 does, I find very interesting, but I've like seen very little of it actually.
Okay.
The only season that I like watched all the way through is the one that's based off the sort of like, it's the parody of like 80s action movies, and they use their own system for it. And it was kind of like a Jumanji situation where people made two characters, one from the outside world and the character that they inhabited. It was very, very fun, very cool, and it was interesting. And it was kind of my kind of a shtick that I kind of like, of a kind of a semi-comedic but also serious kind of thing. Anyway, obviously, would love to play with Brendan Lee Mulligan. He's got the chops to do like the GMing, but he sometimes plays in them too, and he's just basically good at, you know, doing character stuff. And like, or essentially anybody though from Dimension 20, you know, like I think would be fun. Do you know that like a couple people who do that have their own sort of own podcast, and they, I wouldn't say recently because I think it was about a year ago. They have a podcast called like Not Another D&D Podcast. I think they're Not Another D&D Show.
Okay.
And they do. I think they play a fair amount of D&D, but they also did. They went and grabbed the Beginner Box. I think the second edition Beginner Box, and we're running through that adventure with tweaks, but I listened to at least the first half of it, and it was pretty hilarious with someone took the Ezrin. A couple of people made their own stuff, but then like someone took the Ezrin pregen and was just playing him like he was like, oh, I'm a failed wizard, but I'm 57 years old. You know, like I was like, yes, that's pretty, pretty good. Emily Axford from Dimension One. She like went in and just found all of our weirdest spells, like the one that this cantrip that does a musical accompaniment when you just that's all it does. And he's like, oh yeah, I've got that one. I'm gonna cast that. And they had a lot of good riffing there. So at least one or two people from that, right, would be great. I would also, and then sort of on the other side, thinking about other people who've done like voice work and character work and would be kind of just, I would like to hang out with and kind of would be, fun to meet. I listen to, it only comes up every once in a while now. It used to be a podcast that was all more frequently, but now they sort of tapered off, called The Thrilling Adventure Hour. It's got like Paul F. Tompkins and Padgett Brewster and a bunch of other sort of like Mark Evan Jackson. If you, he's been on, I think Parks and Rec at least. This guy's funny, hilarious. Probably one of those individuals. They might not know the game. I think Paul F. Tompkins was on at least one episode of that Dan Harmon show where he actually
did Pathfinder. That.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he kind of knows the idea of what role playing is. Be fun. But also like the character that Mark Evan Jackson plays is he's literally a space cow. He's the sheriff of Mars. He'd have done a little bit of sci-fi stuff. And then
let me interrupt you.
Yes.
Because I'm just riffing. As far as people who do voice actors that kind of know this stuff, Neil Newbun, who's the guy who did the voice acted Asterion from the Baldur's Gate 3 games, who's sultry vampire, is like nice. Both a great guy and loves to game and does voices, obviously. Right. So I'll head him to my list.
That's great. I was trying to think of other video game voices. There's another person. For some reason, I would also think, and I imagine that he might know more about this. Danny Pudi would be fun to do, a game with.
Sure.
And I think he's pretty good at also sort of doing improv and stuff like that. And he might have also been on that Harmon thing once too. Harmon Quest thing.
Harmon Quest or whatever that was.
Harmon Quest. Yeah. Then there's one person whose name I was just looked up a second ago, and now I can't remember her name because I can never remember it. She's a very, very, Deborah Wilson. That's who it is. She's a very prolific voice actress who's been in a lot of like stuff, like a lot of DC cartoons and video games, and she used to be on Mad TV, so. That would be fun.
Comedic chop.
That's sort of it.
John, you said you're...
With all these people who I would be completely super intimidated by, I still would still want to try to GM, but I would probably embarrass the hell out of myself. Thank you. That's my time. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
All right. Excellent.
But John, you said you had two full lists ready to go to show us up for our spontaneity here.
Now I'm thinking a little different. I was just thinking people in sci-fi that I'd love to have around the table. And now I'm thinking, well, I do know there are people, actors and stuff out there that play D&D that would be fun, for an actual play of Starfinder as well, that have done some of the stuff. But
Henry Cavill and Vin Diesel and...
Right. Stephen Colbert,
Stephen Colbert, absolutely.
Another one.
You know, he's active in that. I thought Simon Pegg would be a lot of fun, too.
Definitely.
Shoot, good pick.
For things like that. But my list was like, thinking of like kind of a mixture of space related folks or sci-fi folks on there. Pedro Pascal, Katie Sackhoff, Zendaya.
I'd be very afraid of Katie Sackhoff. I wouldn't want to do her character a lot of damage. I would be really intimidated.
Well,
you'd be intimidated.
Carl Urban, I just love in so many different things. He would be really intimidating for a lot of stuff. I think Keanu Reeves would be a lot of fun for something like that.
Big names, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of thinking of a mixture of folks. And these are kind of the younger crew. Then the old school folks, like Sigourney Weaver, Carrie Fisher, Gillian Anderson, Patrick Stewart. Can you imagine Patrick Stewart?
Oh yeah,
at a table, that would be a lot of fun. Patrick Stewart and Samuel L. Jackson together, I think would be so crazy.
Have to riff off each other, I think.
Yes. So, but yeah, that's what I was kind of. But that's like a pie in the sky, you know. This is.
But
like,
you didn't get to Mark Hamill, who also connects to a lot of the DC voice acting, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
I thought about him, and I have Harrison Ford on there. I don't know. I was trying to only make six people per table. That's the problem. So because when we get more, I don't want to do the hundred cast of hundreds. You know, so.
Yeah, you want to keep it. You want to keep it manageable, because also you know you're gonna have to deal with all these people's schedules and get them on the set at the same time. Yeah,
and I actually think five people, which I think maybe they had 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah,
they have five players. I think that's actually a really good size.
Is that five? That's not five players. That's including the GM, right?
Five players plus the GM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think five is good. We had that for our first season of Intrepid Hosts. We had five players. I think it was the first one. Mm-hmm. And that things went a lot faster than when we bumped it up to six. Mm-hmm. But we got to have Eleanor in there, so that was great. So, you know.
Well, and I think that having the six people that we have for a cosmic birthday is just about right, because we're testing all six of the classes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that feels like we'd know what all of the classes are but one, and that would be a perpetual mystery to us.
Yeah. What about you, Ron? Who would you want to have around the table then?
Man, I've been throwing my names out as I go. So
okay, you don't have anybody else.
Who have I so far said, right? I don't have a list, so I guess you know, I'm just looking at people that I've seen that have done kind of, you know, it seemed like they would be fun stuff recently, so mm-hmm. Or as you guys have mentioned, who does voice acting? What might be kind of fun? Celebrities that I have heard game that might be kind of fun. That's those sort of people I've been throwing out. I think I threw out six names already, so I'm done.
You're done. Okay,
sure. Okay. Leave it to an exercise to the listener to gather Ron's list together.
Don't do it right now. It was Adam Scott. I don't remember it was. It was, you know, Mark Hamill and Henry Cavill and Vin Diesel. And there's someone
the guy
in the
plays
there.
Asterion.
Yes, Neil Newbun. There we go. There's, you know, there's five. Great. I'll run it for him.
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, there you go.
All right. Well, I don't think anything like that's going to happen, but, you know, Jason, if you have any polls.
Wait.
Not a poll. Jason, I don't have that kind of poll. No, I did. So, but one of the things that I want to kind of bring up is another question to sort of add on to this, is that if you watch that trailer, they're doing something with VR in some way.
Yeah.
They haven't said anything, but it's clear that they're every once in a while the cast members are putting on the VR goggles and looking at something. Do you have a gimmick for your actual, or if we say like, oh, let's say it's also VR. What is your VR show? Like, is there something that you can really sort of like, something that we could do for Starfinder that would be really, you know, thematic. I mean, VR would be pretty thematic for Starfinder, and then you could do a situation where it's literally like, okay, maybe there's a Tron kind of thing happens, right? Where you're going to a program or do some hacking, you've got to wear the VR goggles to do that, and it's, you know, still the same system and all that, but like, you know, something, you get to see something different when you're hacking because you've got the VR goggles on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like the opening of Valerian in the City of a Thousand Planets, which I found to be an incredibly enjoyable movie, where they've got to put the goggles on to be able to see into the other location or to be able to reach into it, but you have to do it from a separate location because it's so carefully guarded. That was really difficult, I think, to pull off, both as a heist and as a filmmaking event. And that's the kind of thing that you could put together. It's like, well, you've got to be in two separate places, and you've got this technological gizmo that lets you connect them, but only in this specific way. And then being able to somehow show that to the viewers of to viewers of the actual play would be kind of fun.
Yeah, or some sort of augmented reality where, you know, there's an overlay that can go on top of the, you know, at certain points when a character is talking in character, that all of a sudden they can overlay for the viewer to see, oh, this is what they look like. type of thing.
Oh, rather than the character looks like, yeah.
Yeah, rather than just watching a table of people, you know, talking and stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely actual plays have done sort of that, sort of like a little bit of animation after the fact that sort of like shows that what just happened, what's going on. Like we were talking about Harmon Quest did that a bunch. I think sometimes the Dimension 20 will sometimes have like these like cuts to little like not necessarily full blown animations, but you know, little visuals that you get to get to look at, which is good. Probably I you know, I'm only speaking from experience. Maybe Critical Role does something like that too every once in a while. But doing that, but like having it almost be like a VTuber suite kind of situation where like it literally gets laid over and it looks like it's the same place, but then the person gets a sort of like a fully animated character over there, you know, moving to their mouse, and it's you do it in such a way that it's, oh, maybe it's real time or something, and that they, if they do something wacky, it doesn't, the model will model it.
Yeah, like augmented reality would be, yeah, you know, kind of thing.
So we're not only throwing an unprecedented amount of money at this cast, but also the tech. We're throwing an unprecedented amount of money.
Why not?
As well, okay,
It's a dream project,
and we film it on the moon.
That's just impractical. Well, just film it on the set in which they filmed the moon landing, Ron. That's all.
Oh, okay. There you go. That makes sense. All right. Well, you know, speaking of actual plays, we're slowly wrapping up ours. You know how many sessions we got left, Jason?
I don't know. I've forgotten where we're at.
I mean, an infinite number since we've had to cancel a couple of times. Not that the listeners would know because we banked episodes ahead of time.
We banked them ahead of time, and so it's good. A few more. I mean, I would say what we've recorded is about halfway so far.
No, it's got to be more than halfway.
No, we're not through chapter two yet. You're not even like part of the way through chapter. You have a whole chapter to go after chapter.
Well, that's good. That means we'll have some play. I was getting excited. What?
No, I just said a lot of stuff to do. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm having a good time with it.
Yeah, no, that's good. I was getting excited because, you know, Jason mentioned how he wants to run this Murder in Metal City thing, and I'm thinking that sounds like a fun thing to do next.
Did you volunteer that?
I don't remember volunteering that, but I guess did volunteer.
You said you would love to run
Jason,
it.
Thanks, Jason, for volunteering to run Murder in Metal City.
Did I say that? Fair enough.
Well, no, that's...
now I gotta go read it.
It's out! He's got it.
No, you can be, you know, it's well in advance and prepped.
All right. Well, this is a slight segue off of what we normally would talk about. But I think
Go listen to our actual play interested audience members.
Yes,
because we have one, and we've been doing that one a long time too.
We have more episodes of that than this. I just posted episode 152 for tomorrow. So,
wow. All right.
Yeah. So it's a long ways. All right. Well, gentlemen, as always, it's a pleasure.
Yes. Good times.
I'm John.
And I'm Ron.
And I'm Jason. And this has been Digital Divination.